Let's pray our prayer for illumination before we read from the Gospel of Mark. Make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark, reading chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. It's a bit of a startling passage today, straight out of Mark's gospel, after we've heard from Matthew for the entire year before. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks in parables. He teaches the Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew's gospel where we find the birth of Jesus with magi coming. It's in Luke's gospel where we read about shepherds and angels, the things that bring to mind the nativity scenes that are here in our sanctuary and in so many of your houses, on front lawns already, even for the last week or two, believe it or not. The displays that have been up in stores since September because, boy, we just can't wait to get those Christmas sales underway. I had no idea that Black Friday lasts an entire month now. But it has to. I mean, it's almost like the day after Christmas, they're going to start announcing the Black Friday sales for the next year just to try to catch up from the pandemic. Advent is a season of waiting. And believe it or not, texts like these from Mark's gospel are texts that we're used to reading in the season of Advent, but usually they come from the Old Testament. They come from the prophet Isaiah, usually. We read these prophecies about the coming day of the Lord, the day when finally the people who have been living under oppressive regimes, who have not been able to worship the way they want, who have not been able to rule themselves, that day when finally their slavery to these oppressive regimes will end, and God will usher in the day of the Lord, which will be frightening and terrifying and glorious all at the same time. Now, usually, in most years, we read these texts and we have to be reminded of what the original hearers would have been living through under the oppressive hand of the Babylonians, the people of Judah. If you think about the book of Daniel with King Nebuchadnezzar and the fiery furnace and the lion's den and all of those images, those startling images of apocalypse, that's what the lived experience of the people was. So they were waiting for a day when they would be finally free. Or for the first readers of the Gospel of Mark, in the days either immediately before or immediately after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Roman Empire, or being kicked out of the synagogues by Jewish leaders, there would be words of waiting for the day when they would finally be able to get on with their lives, finally a day when they would be able to just exist and be the way that God intended them to be. And in most years, we would need to be reminded of those kinds of things. But this year, in 2020, well, I remember January 1st, 2020, staying up late with the twins, watching the ball drop, and looking forward with such anticipation to all the glory and splendor of 2020, a new decade, a new chance. And I got to tell you, it's been a little bit of a letdown, right? The fact that our sanctuary is not full of our friends, the fact that so many of them are trapped inside of a computer screen, as my kids think when we FaceTime, Get daddy out of the screen. Our friends are trapped, locked up in their houses. We're trapped behind these masks that protect us but keep us from really being able to fully express ourselves. So much communication is lost when you can't see a person's face. We can't go about the world as we would like. We step outside of our houses with the possibility of infection, fear, trepidation. And it's been going on since March, and we wonder to ourselves, is it ever going to end? We're tired of waiting. I mentioned this in my newsletter article this week. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of all of this. Somehow I think the lessons of Advent are landing with us today. It helps us somewhat, perhaps, to live in the shoes of people who, even to this day, long for the day of the Lord, the day when they can worship without fear, the day when they can worship without fear of persecution, without fear of being ostracized from their families or desecrated by their communities or oppressive regimes that exist in our world today. In Mark's gospel, Jesus gives us a sort of mini apocalypse. When all of this started back in March, we were looking through the book of Revelation, reading week after week after week, and getting a little bit uncomfortable with the imagery of plagues and desecrations and all of these things, and more than one message wondering, are we living in the end times? Is this it? Are all of these signs that we are seeing getting us ready for this time? So if we take a look back at Mark and we see, Jesus says, in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth, to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. How many years ago was that written? This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. 2,000 years, almost. That's a long generation. That's a long time to wait for this to come. And yet, somehow, it seems that we get glimpses of this. Even in the midst of everything we're going through, we see signs of God's kingdom. People are still born. Babies are born. We celebrate birthdays. We've got one in my house this week. Someone is turning 2 against our protests, by the way. We're not accepting of this, and yet it's going to happen no matter what. There are good things that happen in our world, things that we see that fill us with warm feelings, that fill us with a word that belongs with our first candle of Advent. And that word is hope. It's hope. In this season of Advent, going through a season that seems like Lent never left us, we begin with hope. The hope that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God has chosen us for some purpose. I heard this week a little quote from Fiddler on the Roof. Tevye is praying to God, and he says, God, I know that we are the chosen people, but sometimes I wish you would choose someone else. That's an Advent prayer. It's a prayer of honesty to God, saying, it's hard. Life is hard, and we wish it would end. Give us some sign that something is happening good, that we're chosen for something more than oppression and persecution. Jesus says, keep watch. Keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. And if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. There's a promised hope that Christ will return. He's promised. And that when he does, all of this, and more than just this, but the disease, the suffering, the separation, the division, Democrats and Republicans and otherwise, and wars, and terrorism, and famine, and injustice, and all of those things will simply melt away and pass away because they cannot stand in the coming light of Jesus Christ. And that's what we really long for, and that's what we really hope for. That was the hope of the people in biblical times, and it is the hope for us today. A hope that Christ will come. And so we are called to watch. and prepare. The season of Advent is a season of preparation. It's the time for us to clean the leaves out of the gutters of our lives, to repent of our sins. As we've talked about the last 4 weeks, to practice generosity toward God and toward our fellow human beings, to grow in love for one another. That's what Advent preparation looks like. It's sharing the hope that we have for our future. Sharing our hope with a world that so often seems like it's living without hope. As the light continues to grow in our Advent wreath, leading up to our celebration of Christmas Eve, which will be a little bit different this year, our lives fill with that light, and we are filled with the hope that we are called to pass along to others. The hope that all of this will come to an end someday in the promised light of Jesus Christ. And so today we are filled with hope. Hope that Jesus loves us, hope that God cares for us, and hope that the Spirit goes with us into the world to love, to serve God and our fellow humans. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this lesson from your word. We thank you for the mini apocalypse that reminds us that the world that we are living in, with all of its pain, with all of its trouble, will give way to hope and joy and peace and love. And so in this Advent season, prepare our hearts to celebrate that day and guide us in our preparations, in cleaning out our lives, opening our hearts to other people. Guide us into this season, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes to us from a faith statement from one of our sister denominations, known as Our Song of Hope. I would invite you to stand as we affirm our faith together. People of God, what do we believe? Our only hope is Jesus Christ. After we refused to live in the image of God, he was born of the Virgin Mary, sharing our genes and our instincts, entering our culture, speaking our language, fulfilling the law of God. Being united to Christ's humanity, we know ourselves when we rest in him. Come, Lord Jesus, we are open to your Spirit. We await your full presence. Our world finds rest in you alone. Amen.